And so we continue in the topic of Dibor. We are on page 506. 506. Yes, 506. I want to go back. I want to go back a drop. Yeah, I want to go back a drop. I want to go back to just do the last piece that we did on Thursday. I didn't have translation with me and I messed it up a little bit. So I just want to do it again. Okay, learning today should be a schos lenishmas adir chaver chaim elazav and shemshinariyeh, as well as a schos for an ilu neshama for Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, ben Rabbi Chaim Menachem ben Tzion, and should also be a schos for Fuhr Shleima, Chaim Moshe Yeshua, b'makom Chaim Dov ben Menorachon, Chanelie b'Shein Dorachon, Abadati ben Peril, as well as a schos for all those in a makom sakana in Eretz Yisrael and those risking their lives to protect it. So I want to go back to the in Dibor we were talking about. These are dvarim asurim. These are words that a person speaks that are completely asur. And I want to just go back to the case of a makalo, someone who curses. So he says like this: a makalo is chaveiroi, someone who curses his friend, oyas atzmoi, or himself, meaning carelessly, people curse themselves a lot. Oyas mi shechayev bechvaydai, right? Sometimes someone will say, "Oh, just kill me already," something like that, without even thinking about what he's saying. But one thing we always have to remember is that there's koyach and dibur. That's what separates us from the animals. And so our dibur is very powerful, and that's why we always have to be very careful with it. Oh, yes, mi shechayev bechvaydai. Or you curse someone that you're mechuyev to show honor to. Oh, yeah, afilo mekala mi shechayev bechvaydai. Or even if you curse someone on lower than you, meaning someone who's mechuyev to honor you, nevertheless, kill us chinam loytavai. Any curse that's unwarranted, that should not have been given, basically bounces back on the person who gave it. And even if you did it for good reason, nevertheless, your own chelek gets cursed. And if they decide not to prosecute the curse, meaning you wish a curse upon someone, so if he gets it, you're somewhat responsible. So let's say you curse someone. You say, "That guy was so mean to me. I hope he gets into a car accident today, Layla." So if that guy gets in a car accident, so then his damage is on your cheshbon. Even if he doesn't, the fact that they had to come up with tzchusim to save him from the words of that curse being impacted and being effective is also comes off from your tzchusim, right? You don't deduct from his tzchusim the fact that you said a curse. It's taken off your cheshbon. The anash yanesh ra, and essentially it's going to be punishment for the person who caused it. Aside from the punishment for being over the love, especially someone who pronounces a cherem on his friend, or calls him someone who's cursed, you refer to him as someone who is a cursed person, which includes excommunicating, or you declare your friend to be a cherem and he enters the company of people who were wrongfully placed in cherem, where the person who pronounces it is excommunicated in shemayim. So here, what we're saying is, you have someone who is a hothead, and so he goes ahead and he pronounces a cherem on someone else. He says, "You know, you should be put in cherem, or I hereby put you in cherem," something to that extent, some words like that. So what he's saying is that in Shemayim, they actually take you, the person pronouncing the curse, and they actually put you in Cherem. Now he's going to talk about talking disrespectfully to others. Someone who speaks to parents with kashas means very sharply, with brazenness, with chutzpah, or in a degrading manner, or in an angry manner. You are included in the category of people who the pasuk says, "Cursed are those who degrade their parents." Someone who speaks harshly with widows or orphans. You're over on that lav. He says, "So the Gemara in Shabbos says that it's better to work for an Arab than to work for a widow or an orphan, because a widow or an orphan is easily moved to tears." And they're easily offended, and so it's going to come out that you're going to more than likely cause them some sort of distress, and that's going to be held against you. So he says, better to work for an Arab than to work for a Yasim or an Almana. Even if you're a Rebbe, and you're mechuyev to discipline a yasim. You have a yasim in your class, but nevertheless, you have to be very, very careful. You have to tread very carefully when you're disciplining him. Ulinalam, and to guide them, uliyasim menachas uberachmim, and to discipline them in a gentle and merciful manner. Next category of Devarim Asurim, someone who calls his friend an embarrassing nickname, Afagav the Dashba. Even though it's Dash means like to tread upon, that it's very commonly stepped on, which means it's everyone calls him that, right? They call him Shorty, and he hates it because he's a midget, but everybody calls him it, or Baldy, and it's degrading for him. So even though everyone does it, nevertheless, it's asura. And similarly, if you humiliate someone publicly, there is no chelik in olam haba. Loi sane al riv. Pasuk says that you should not respond to an argument. Sheha'oineh hu machzik b'machlokes, because if you do, you're just strengthening the machlokes. So here you have someone that's in an argument, and the voices are getting raised. When you respond, you're just strengthening the argument. You should walk away. And you basically cause this machlokes to flourish and to multiply until the flames are rising up, until it basically becomes a full-blown argument. When we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends earth al blima, now literally that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends the earth on nothingness. We are in space. HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed us in orbit around the sun. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically suspends us. Okay, he created the physics of gravity, but there's no string, there's no string holding up the earth. So that's Tayla Eretz al blima. But he says here Tayla Eretz al blima, which means that the earth is exists al misha bailin pibish asmariva, over somebody who doesn't answer when, I'm sorry, someone who closes his mouth when there's an argument, and he doesn't sort of fan the flames of the machlekes. V'im yaneh, and if he does answer, yihi b'maneh rachmeishiv chama. It should be in a gentle way. If you do have to answer someone who's getting upset at you, you should at least do it in a calm manner so that you diffuse the situation. Let's do one more category. Someone who gives bad advice to his friend. Now you're giving the bad advice not because you don't know better, okay? Sometimes you think it's really good advice. It turns out to be bad. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about where you know in your mind that it's harmful. So, for example, you know that a stock is about to tank. So you tell other people, go and buy the stock. I want to drive up the price artificially, and then I know that I'm going to make a few bucks. But I know that the stock is about to tank, and that way I'll be able to make out. So you are dealing, but you're self-dealing in a way that's not being open with the person. And if someone thinks that no one's ever going to know, right? How's anyone ever going to find out? Hashem could check into people's hearts. Al kenema, that's why the end of the pasuk it says, you should fear God. Why? Because God ultimately is the one that knows if you are giving advice and you're being sincere about it. I'm going to das chaveir shemishtadal. Here you have, as a subcategory of this, is somebody has a secret. And so in order to get out the secret, you go to that person and you start asking them questions. Now you know based on the way they answer the question, a lot of times you could parse out the truth. So you say to someone, how was it? How was it? You hung out with, I don't know, hung out with Dave Malinowitz today. How was it? You say, I'd rather not say. So the person could tell probably that it wasn't such a fun experience. So, but that's a piece of information I didn't want to tell you. And now you're like pulling it out of me. And based on my answers, you're going to be able to figure out what my real feelings are on the matter. So he says, an example like that, that's called stealing your friend's mind. You're trying to get out a secret. Now you're oivel l'selech rachel. You can't even do this to a guy. It's called geneva's das. To steal their mind in a way that you are getting information out of them is aser. However, there are situations where it's mutter. It's mutter for a parent, ulerav, or for a rav, uledayin, or a judge, lignoiv as a lev, to trick, okay, for lack of a better word, to trick a child, to trick a student, to trick a mispalel, in order to guide them in the proper path, or in the case of a dayan, in order to come to the truth. So a Dayan has to get to the bottom of it. So sometimes a Dayan has to use a tactic that tricks someone into admitting something that they weren't really ready to admit at the beginning of the case. That's because he needs to don emes lamitoi. In the case of a Rebbe and a parent, you have here questions of chinuch. Do you have a child that's going maybe going in an improper direction, looking at things he shouldn't look at, talking to people he shouldn't be talking to, talking in a way that he shouldn't be talking? And so Gnevas Das, for example, Gnevas Das would be, I install a camera because I want to keep an eye, or I install a program so I can see what my kids are looking at on the internet. Now, technically, that's Gnevas Das. I'm not telling them. I'm watching them. I'm big brothering them without letting them know. But the whole point is not because I'm doing it for my own gain. I'm doing it for them because I want to make sure that they get a proper chinuch and they don't, you know, that they turn out okay. So that is an area where Gnevas Das is not only mutter, but it's the proper thing to do because it's for their own benefit.